B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
If I have a Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, 802 Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. Stall.
Hi, Rich.
Stall,
how are you?
Stall. I'm doing good. I'm doing excellent. And I'm looking for our friend Fred because this break was specifically for him. This is to fill him in on something.
That commercial stop set a little short. Little short.
I discovered last week. By the way, we have not broken the news to Fred that it's official that the Motley Crue show has been postponed.
Oh, man. He's not going to like that.
No, nope. That's not. I heard somebody just get a text. Is that Dan, you texting Fred saying, where are you? Okay. Right. Well, listen, you know, this is sometimes you got to use the restroom. I've realized that Dan O'Brien and I are on the same pee schedule because we leave the mic at the same time. Fred.
Yeah, during the last commercial break, you were like, hey, sorry, I had to step out for a second. I literally was walking back into the studio as you said that.
Which is not going to be good for when I get back to the studio because there's only one person allowed in the restroom at the same time.
I think it's two.
Oh, it's
because,
two.
You know, I put up that really wicked, cool, neat divider in between the two urinals, which, as I look back upon it now, it was very prophetic, Rich, Maz and I doing that for the Tool Bags podcast, because it is a divider between between two people, you know? Mm-hmm. It may not be complete separation, but they're going to allow two people in the bathroom.
We're going to get dividers in here, too, right?
Well, not the ones that I put in the
bathroom.
No, not
but that, but like clear ones, correct?
There's a potential for them in the on-air studio. Everything's being discussed, John.
Right, sure.
So, got to keep you safe.
This is going to look like that Foxwoods picture I tweeted out, right, of what the casino tables look like?
If the clear plastic dividers come in here, yes, it'll look very similar to that, I would
think. Okay, so what it's going to be like is our
like picking up the phone at a prison. Like you just walk over and you just
knock on the door, knock on the window, hey!
Go to the window and pick up the phone. Yeah.
So am I going to? So I'm not going to be in the same studio as them, though. Like I've got to be in the meantime in a because the way it would work is when I come in the studio I walk like I basically like rub on Fred to get to my seat.
Just don't rub on him when you walk by him.
Yeah. Who knows what I mean? For those of people who haven't heard, Rich might be back in a month, maybe a little longer. Correct.
If everything's going the way that it is, right. I'll be back in the middle of.
Who knows? We might be midway through phase three at that point, and things might be different.
But if not, think about the way things are set up right now.
Yeah.
Is that I am going to be looking at the back of Fred's head?
Correct.
So that's going to drive Fred crazy.
Yes, indeed.
Because we're not going to be able to, like, I can see him, but he's not going to be able to see me.
That's correct.
So, okay, well, this is going to be weird. I mean, it's just going to be weird. Unless, John, you're the one looking at the back of his head, so Fred and I can you know, be eye-locked that way.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out.
Bring a tape measure with you when you come in, Rich.
That's right. Fred and I are on opposite sides of the desk. We're certainly far enough away.
Right.
So now
they have not thought of this because Fred's the only one who sits in that seat.
Yep.
So it kind of like any other show.
If you sat in the middle underneath the logo here in the studio, I don't understand why the three of us couldn't be in the studio. We'd each be 6 feet apart from each other. It's kind of like a triangle.
Because I would be the only one that doesn't have access to the door without like rubbing up against either one of you. Like you can go to your seat just fine.
Yeah.
Fred can go to his seat just fine. But for me to get to mine, mm-hmm. I would have to. Now you guys would have to get up and leave.
Well, Fred specifically would have to get up and leave.
It's going to be a very weird ballet for all of this to work. But in the meantime, as of right now, I'm Mr. Stare at the back of Fred's head when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the way that's going to be
tentatively
set up.
Subject to change.
Tentatively, Fred, did I just hear Fred?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. Excellent. Yeah, we're just talking about when things return back to normal and everyone's back in the studio. That. As of right now, I'm going to be looking at the back of your head in the studio behind you, so we've got
Lucky
to figure
man.
Out.
Good to see that butt.
Looking at that sweet apple ass of yours right there.
That's right, baby.
All right. So last week, Fred, there was one thing that I wanted to make sure that you heard, that we discovered. And everyone knows that we love our good friend Bird.
B to the I to the R to the D.
And now he has been, we miss him, and hopefully he'll be back soon. We love Bird. And in the meantime, he's been wanting to do a podcast, and he keeps telling me that he was going to get it recorded and get it done. And finally, we got the debut. I was sent a link, not a link, I was sent like the raw audio of the Bird podcast. Now, I wanted to tweet out the link, but I couldn't find it anywhere online. Like, it's like he did a podcast and never published it. So I don't really...
Yeah, it was just a practice run.
I guess so. And I think it's published somewhere, but I don't quite know where it is. So
GeoCities.
That's right. It's a MySpace. It's a MySpace exclusive. So he sent us his podcast. Now, this is just Bird on his own. This is not the Dude and Bird Show. And Fred, he just kind of explains the situation at the very beginning. The podcast is called the Anywho Podcast, starring Bird. So, Fred, here is how the very first moments of the very first Bird podcast starts.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bird. This is my podcast, Anywho with Bird. That's right. I'm flying solo. So the Dude and Bird show's officially over. Plus, the dude's a professor, as I said before. He's doing his thing at Reader's College. I'm doing my thing. We just really haven't been linking up. Plus, you got the whole virus and quarantine thing going on still. So, yeah, Dude and Bird show is done. Hate to say it, but, you know, had a blast with the dude. Great kid, great guy. We both went in different directions, and that's life.
I mean,
what can you do?
Know, sometimes we
anywho. So,
stop.
It's Lennon and McCartney. You know, like sometimes.
Anywho,
to achieve such greatness, you know, you have to move on and do something else.
He became a professor.
Yeah.
I became Bird again.
Anywho.
Fred, we were remarking that most podcasts, you know, have a music intro or, you know, like a run-up to what you're going to say. But, you know, Bird's just right down to business. Hi, this is Bird. This is my podcast.
Yeah, this was a solemn situation.
What can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? I mean, you know, when you lose your sidekick, all hell breaks loose.
Well, I mean, listen, not only is it a sad moment, but he at some point tried to bring back some of the classics. Dan, go to the next guy. Now, this is he did a Just for Food break where he just basically ate a bag of pretzels on the air and just chewed. And then he was like, yeah, these are good. That was about a good minute and a half. And then he went on and talked and did some. Oh, the Birdcage. The Birdcage was the coronavirus and the people at Point of Pines. Where he
what's
lives.
Point not of like Pines?
It's where he lives.
It's where he lives, which I always thought was Port of Pines, by the way he pronounced it, but it's Point of Pines.
Oh.
And,
so the bird, he doesn't like the coronavirus, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he put them in the birdcage, a lifetime birdcage.
He only talked about it for about, what, 7 seconds?
Well, listen, I mean, who doesn't love the coronavirus? I mean, he is a man on an island.
Right. But then he says it's time to get to another segment that we all loved about the Dude and Bird podcast. Let's take a listen.
Our Slam and Slew banger of the week is Kayla Harrity. She is a Massachusetts girl from, I believe, the Worcester area. I've worked with her on Dirty Water TV years back. I'm talking maybe 9, 10 years ago. She was in The Assault on a Lifetime Network show. She was the lead cheerleader in that TV drama. She was on Wahlberg's herself on the A&E show. She's in a few commercials too.
Okay, by the way, Now he's just pulling up the IMDb. Second of all, is how creepy is it that he's making the Slam and Slew banger somebody he worked with?
And also that, and she's been in a few commercials as well. Is that if that was on her IMDb? Like, they don't go like, oh, hey, you were in a Hardee's commercial.
I think they do, actually.
I don't know about that. It seemed to be a project a little bit bigger than that, but nonetheless. I mean, she is a Slam and Slew banger.
Okay, what you're about to hear here, Fred, I want you to let this roll. I did not edit this. All right, this is how it turned out on the podcast. All right, I want you to hear this. Just let it roll, Dan. This is, once again, not my editing.
Ocean Spray, all right. And Nutella. Ooh, she must get a lot of free Nutella. That's a white girl's wet dream right there. Oh, man. Hopefully she's still getting some Nutella. That's awesome. And that's it. And I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to the Anywho podcast with Bird.
Can you hear, like, his mom making, like, setting the table in the background?
And that's it.
Don't
dude, that was
Bird.
Like, what happened to his head there? Like, was he fantasizing about her? Was he fantasizing about Nutella? Did all of a sudden just his brain explode and he was staring at a wall for a few seconds? And, oh, yeah. All right. I'm on the air. Okay. Again, go, play it back one more time. Just one more time. Let me hear this.
Hopefully she's still getting some Nutella. That's awesome. And that's it. And I'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to the Anywho podcast with Bird.
I'm telling you that she's setting the table. His mom is setting the table. And that is what he's confused by. He's thinking about like the lamb chops he's about to consume on the Anywho podcast.
So Bird sat down with Joe Murray on Joe Murray's podcast.
Oh, boy.
And they talked about what was going on. And there's trouble in paradise. Let's hear it, Dan.
You're part of the Anywho podcast?
Yes, I started my Anywho podcast last week. You, my girlfriend, and Rich, and a bunch of other people saying, Bird, like, you haven't done anything since March. Like, just do a podcast. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And, you know, March became May, and several weeks went by, and I'm like, all right, I'll just do it now.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, stop it. That's my favorite exchange. I heard some of your podcasts. Thank you. He didn't say it was good. He said, no. I don't know what to get. He's like, yeah. Like, why would you?
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, like, who needs their podcast distributed? I mean, this is... What kind of world are you living in?
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, where? On the Toucher and Rich show. And then I looked for it and could not find it. I understand that can be a big problem with podcasts. By the way, he was able to upload the... So now you know the brains between the Bird and whatever his name is podcast.
The Dude and Bird.
The Dude and Bird podcast. Now you know the brains behind it.
Is this where they talk about Trouble in Paradise, Dan? Is this where they go back and forth about there's a certain term he's not allowed to use anymore?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay. Fred, I'll just tell
you. I'm not
you.
Positive.
He can't use the term slam and slubanger anymore.
Ooh, because it's been copyrighted.
I'm not joking, by the way. I said the word dude because I meant dude is the one who called him and said, you can't use slubanger anymore, according to Bird. So dude has essentially copyrighted the term slubanger, and he's taking that away from Bird. What has happened between the two of them? It's like, you know, mom and dad are fighting. I don't like this very much.
Yeah, like you didn't even post it. I know, I'm being really lazy about this.
So you want to like just put your hands in your pocket and just show up?
Show up, yeah, as of right now. But no, I'm going to get better and better. Turtle crawl right now, just turtling.
What happened to the Dude and Bird show?
So after my first episode, the dude hit me up. He's like, dude, congratulations, you're doing your own podcast. He's like, we'll get back together. I'm like, dude, I thought we were done. He's like, no, we're not done. We're not done. It's just the virus and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you're a professor. Shouldn't you be, like, doing professor stuff? Like, how often are we going to do this, dude?
Professor stuff.
Shouldn't you be doing that professor stuff? Like, mopping the floor and then doing equations on the blackboard when everyone's gone?
Right. Like what those guys do in the Spider-Man movie. You know, it's like some sort of lab or something where they're creating an evil genius. Should you be coming up with, like, some sort of a crazy thing where you can shoot fireballs out of your eyes? With a Bunsen burner.
I mean, Bird, you have so much going on. I mean, this community college isn't going to teach itself. I mean, the culinary school is not going to know how to braise things when you're done. Professor Bird.
By the way, he was calling him dude and was saying dude, so I wasn't quite sure who was being referenced during that conversation.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, dude wants to get back, but I mean, this virus is keeping a lot of people apart.
Is this it, Dan? This is where the trouble in paradise with the slew banger. Let's take a listen.
Your podcast, anywho, slew banger.
Today, I gotta think about that. I don't know, dude. There's no more slew banger. We gotta think of a different name.
What's the new name?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it when you're talking to me too. It's tough, dude. I guess that's funny and edgy.
We need a new name. Like what?
I like to say local, but if I have to go nationally, I would. But I like doing like local.
So you want to do like a local? So like.
Like Stifler's mom. Well, I use that as an example. She's okay. From Newton.
Oh, okay. Then all right. Local legend, local lady, mass ass.
God. All right. Hang on. Stop. So we just said two things. Number one, what is due to professor of? Why is this being glossed over? That's a great question. I need to know these things. Professor of vending machine economics. Number two,
and
does Bird think
fries?
Yeah, that's right. Like he scientifically tests the actual how hot the hot fries are.
Yeah, he does. What did the Gunner smoke? He does tests on ligets to figure out the smoke ratio of them.
The professor of smokes. Number two, does Bird think a podcast is just recording a voice memo on his phone and then people can just somehow listen to that magically? Maybe that's the case. That could be it. But I just, I do know, however, that I am, I've been enjoying the podcast. It's only been that one. Oh, I think he just recorded a follow-up, which I'm going to have to listen
well,
to.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
I heard some of your podcast.
Thanks.
You Pasternak. Appreciate it. David Pasternak always chiming in.
What a serious praise that you're getting there. Absolutely.
Well, dude, right. I heard some of your first podcast.
Thanks.
All right. So we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
If I have a sports hub, it is Toucher and Rich. 802 Town Fair Tire Studio. 617-779-0985. Stall, 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 stall.
Hi, Rich.
Stall,
how are you?
Stall, stall. I'm doing good. I'm doing excellent. And I'm looking for our friend Fred because this break was specifically for him. This is to fill him in on something.
That commercial stop set a little short. Little short.
I discovered last week. By the way, we have not broken the news to Fred that it's official that the Motley Crue show has been postponed.
Oh, man. He's not going to like that.
No, nope. That's not. I heard somebody just get a text. Is that Dan, you texting Fred saying, where are you? Okay. All right. Well, listen, you know, sometimes you got to use the restroom. I've realized that Dan O'Brien and I are on the same pee schedule because we leave the mic at the same time. Fred.
Yeah, during the last commercial break, you were like, hey, sorry, I had to step out for a second. I literally was walking back into the studio as you said that.
Which is not going to be good for when I get back to the studio because there's only one person allowed in the restroom at the same time.
I think it's two.
Oh,
because,
two.
You know, I put up that really wicked, cool, neat divider in between the two urinals, which, as I look back upon it now, it was very profound.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Well, dude, I heard some of your first podcast.
Thank you.
And I don't know where to hear it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? Oh, man. What can we play that would just make him freak out when he came back that we were playing? Like, something that would be just be really weird. Like, what if we were playing, like...
If this is it! Oh, yeah! I like it.
I don't know. Maybe he needs one that's a little more Randy. We'll just say Wallach took over the radio today. He's played the songs from his cassette player in his car right now.
One of the more disappointing concerts I've ever been to.
Drew Lewis in the News?
Yep.
That guy's had a million hits. How could it be? Well, unless he didn't play any of them.
That's the point.
Okay.
They dropped 9 songs from a new album. I saw him over at whatever Harbor Lights is called now. What's it called over in South Boston?
Oh, it used to be the Blue Hills Bank.
The Blue Hills Bank Pavilion. Went and saw them, and wife and I had good seats, you know, fourth row center, and they dropped 9 songs from a new album on all of us. It was half the set. Well, and it was awful. And I remember seeing Tim from the Dropkick Murphys afterwards. He and Huey Lewis are apparently good friends. And Tim walks up to me and said, "That was really good, wasn't it?" And I said, "Nope." It kind of sucked, Tim. They weren't very good at all.
Well, I went to Rocklahoma of years ago, and I've got some of the best audio I've ever gotten there, which, of course, it's everything you would dreamed it would be. It was all these, you know, bad, like, you know, 80s, and not bad, but it was like 80s and 90s bands. Like, I think it was like Living Color and Night Ranger on the first night.
And
like Warrant and like things like that. But one of the bands that was playing was Extreme. Now, I'd never seen Extreme before, and I loved that. The first two Extreme albums.
Yep.
I loved those albums. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't wait. I finally get to hear, you know.
Wholehearted, let's go.
Oh, yeah. See, that song sucked. That song was awful. But I'm talking like, you know, Play With Me. You could hear Mother Don't Want to Go to School Today. You could hear He-Man, Woman Hater. These songs got the best names ever. And so I'm like, well, I get to hear all the Decadence Dance. This is going to be awesome. They get up there. They open with Decadence Dance. I'm like, hell yes. And then Gary Cherone, which I know I'm going to piss off Ty Anderson because that's his uncle, I believe. I said, Gary Cherone gets up there and he goes, "All right, I want you to know this ain't no nostalgia show. We're going to play a whole new album." And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
Exactly.
Like, I was like, I traveled to Oklahoma. The number one band I wanted to see was Extreme, which, by the way, might be the saddest sentence that has ever come out of my mouth. But, man, that pissed me off. I hate when bands do that. I can't stand it when, like, an old band that has a whole catalog of great old songs comes out and insists on playing everything new.
You see, that's the thing. I saw John Mellencamp a long time ago, but he was already gone past his hit-making years, and he walked out on stage and said, "I know what you guys want. I'm going to be a jukebox today. I'm going to crank them out one after the other. Let's go."
Love it.
2 hours worth. It was great.
I've said you're only allowed to play your new stuff if you're in a smaller venue. Like, when U2 plays a stadium, they are obligated to play songs that everybody knows. But when they play five nights at the TD Garden, you can play whatever you want because that's like a smaller audience. Those are the people who want to go. You're like ultra fans. But like Springsteen went out and played Gillette Stadium four years ago. Yep. I remember because there was a picture of Scott Zolak with Mike Reese, and Scott Zolak was throwing Mike Reese around like a beach ball. And I remember I looked at that set list, and listen, I'm a pretty big music fan. I'm not a Springsteen fan, but I know his stuff. Like, I'm familiar with Springsteen. I knew four songs out of his 36-song set. That's inexcusable. If you play a stadium, you realize that there's a different level of fan. Like, you're bringing in even casual fans if you're playing at a stadium with that amount of people.
I saw Springsteen at Gillette after The Rising. Remember the album The Rising? After that, and I would say he played 25 songs that day, and I knew... Well, I knew about three-quarters of them, so that's not the track record. He's usually pretty good.
Just play Dancing in the Dark 10 times in a row. Is Fred back? Fred, you back? All right, well then, I know Fred loves this, so let's go ahead and play it.
Oh, well, everybody's heard that gronk's the word. Gronk is the word. Don't you know that gronk's the word? Well, everybody knows that gronk is the word. Gronk is the word.
Tom.
Oh, well, everybody's heard.
Let's do it
again. The word. Gronk.
Oh, God.
Gronk is the word. Gronk. Gronk is the word.
Where are you, Fred?
Gronk is the word.
Halfway.
Fred.
Gronk is the word. Gronk is the word. Don't you know that gronk's the word? Well, everybody knows that gronk is the word. Gronkowski.
Fred. Are you there?
Fred?
Now I'm worried. Did we lose his connection?
Dan? Oh, Dan, is he still hooked up?
Still connected.
All right.
Okay.
Wow.
Appears to be still connected. Everything on the tie line behind me is saying it's connected.
Okay.
All right, text him so I can hear that, like, is like he's getting your texts. Have you texted him, Dan?
Yeah, we have, yes.
Oh, now Oh, there's the sound. Now I'm worried. Hope he's okay. My stomach's all right. Somebody said my friend saw Lou Bega as opening act, and he played Mambo Number 5 twice. There's a guy who gets it.
Yeah. So, Rich.
If you're seeing Lou Bega live, imagine Lou Bega getting up
there. John was there, I bet. No.
Even I skipped that one. No.
We're not playing any, like, we're not playing any of the old songs, and don't even think you're going to hear Mambo Number 5.
John was definitely there.
No, I can't say, though, I did see Howard Jones in concert. You know who opened up for them?
Who opened up?
At the Orpheum.
For Howard Jones?
For Howard Jones.
Thompson Twins.
Things would only get better. No, Animotion.
Ooh.
Animotion
opened up for him. They did that song Obsession twice. Once at the beginning, once at the end.
Okay, so the best was, do you remember, there was a NERD, it's Pharrell, and he had this song called, what was it?
Rockstar, wasn't it?
Rockstar, yeah. He had the song Rockstar, and it was like, you know, they had a hit. And they played this festival that we were at, and they did rock. They opened with Rockstar, and the place went, woo! And then they played like six songs nobody knew. And then they go, all right, everybody, good night. Here's one more song. And they played Rockstar a second time. So what happened was they left the stage, and the promoter goes, you guys have 15 more minutes. And they went, what? So they went back on stage, and they went, yo, what's up? And they did about 5 minutes of put your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't get. They had no song. It was just having the crowd event, and finally just like, screw it. Let's do it again. And they played Rockstar a third time. they played the same song three times. God bless them. God bless these bands.
I went to see the Australian group The Church a few years ago. And
I love The Church.
And everybody in the audience was, you know,
Under the Milky Way.
What typical Church, probably, you know, that's what you know them from, or, you know, a couple of other songs, Reptile and a few others. And basically the lead singer was like, we don't live in the past.
Oh,
we
always
constantly look to the future. And I looked at my friend. I'm like, I'll see you later. Yeah. I'll be at the bar next door. And I was like, you know what? And it was only after like literally the second encore that they were getting booed off the stage that someone told me I wasn't there, but that they did Milky Way. I'm like,
Xanadu chiming in with some knowledge here. He goes, a band should have to put out a partial set list before tickets go on sale. There should be a partial set list guarantee. Like, if it's a newer band, whatever, fine. Like, I mean, if it's somebody who's, like, got a small catalog. But if you're a classic band that's been out for, like, 20-something years or more, they should have a guarantee that you will hear at least these five songs at some point in the set. We might play them at the very end, but at least here's five that you're going to hear. Because if you don't hear five songs that you wanted to hear, like their five biggest songs out of like a catalog of over 20 years, then you got ripped off. Then they just don't care about what you think as a fan, and they just wanted your money and they wanted to noodle around. But oh my God, I mean, that Springsteen set was hysterical. Like there was somebody who was with us who was a Springsteen fan.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, even I don't know half.
Yeah, I know. That's when you lose them. Yeah.
All right.
Well, if you get if no.
Hey!
Fred, how are you?
Back.
That's right, baby.
All right, now let's go to John Walk's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There might be scenarios where older coaches would not be allowed to be on the bench during games. I talked to Mike D'Antoni from Houston, Alvin Gentry, the New Orleans coach, both north of 67 years old. About the possibility that they might have to wear masks coaching their team. You know, both coaches really pushed back at the idea of them being singled out. And I think they felt if you wanted to have all of the coaches wear masks because that's an important safety protocol, absolutely. But don't single us out.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and I heard that when I was on vacation. I thought that was the most idiotic thing in the entire world. That, hey, old guys, you got to do something different than everyone else. The punishment is that you're old. And by the way, if you look at the fatalities from the coronavirus, if I'm not mistaken, it spikes incredibly at 80. So,
But, I mean, D'Antoni is 71, I think?
69, I think.
Oh, Popovich is 71.
Popovich is 71.
Yeah,
he's the oldest.
Right. So regardless, first of all, it's asinine. I don't care if you're 100.
Sure.
Well, they're getting tested every day, and that's the difference. Every day everybody's getting tested, that's what you want. So I mean,
say they weren't getting tested at all. To say that that four of the coaches have to wear masks because they're old is something that would never happen. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, was something that I think they threw out there trying to have an overabundance of caution, and then immediately when they did it, you're like, what are we doing? Let them decide.
First, Alvin Gentry said they didn't want him on the sideline.
Yeah, I know.
They want him back in the crowd somewhere.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's them trying to be overly cautious, and they at some point, you have to remember reality, and they just probably end up going, that was really dumb. I don't know why we did that. And thank goodness they immediately flipped on that. So, I mean, now it's, of course, in their hands as to what they want to do. And this is going to be, you know, as safe and as an environment as you could probably get right now, where every day these guys are tested. Every single day. Now, the kicker of the thing that was coming out of yesterday was that if anybody is to leave Disney, they have to force quarantine for 10 days, and then they can't. They also have to have two negative tests before they come back, and I know it. I know it's one of those guys is going to – like, you're telling me
– Kissimmee is calling their names.
Sweet Kissimmee. I mean, you're telling me that this is the place like Medieval Times and all that. I mean, there's just too much excitement down there.
There's nothing sadder than when you see a family pull into a Kissimmee hotel. Because they're just saying, you hope their kids don't know any better.
Didn't the Astros used to train there? Didn't a Major League Baseball team used to train there?
The worst baseball place ever was Baseball Heaven. That was the Royals. And it was in the middle of, and when I say it's in the middle of nowhere, I'm not joshing around. Like, it was hard to find. And it was a boardwalk, and there was a baseball park, and, like, I think that's where I got kidnapped and put in the Mansky thing. It was baseball heaven. So, like, it was more of a hell to me. But, yes, there are, I mean, Lakeland's no, my grandmother used to live in Lakeland where the Tigers played. I'll tell you, that's no paradise.
Was that Kissimmee or was that, you said Lakeland? Where is that? Because Kissimmee is, you're right. I mean, when you see, like, there's a really good movie. Actually, it's not a really good movie. It's a great movie that came out a couple years ago called The Florida Project. And it's about a Kissimmee hotel that is right next to Disney, and it's run by Willem Dafoe, and he's this really nice but kind of tough hotel owner, and it's one of those hotels where a lot of people just live there, and there's a scene in it where I think the name of the hotel is called the Magic Kingdoms Hotel. And there's this couple that show up in the middle of the night, and they're on their honeymoon, and they walk into the lobby, and they see, like, you know, it's, like, really kind of a creepy hotel. And the woman's like, what did you do? She goes, I booked this at the Magic Kingdom. And they're like, this is not what I thought we were going to. And, of course, everything's all full, so they have to stay there for the night. Great, great film. But you're right. That area around there.
That's the equivalent of my grandmother telling me that I was going to Disney World and taking me to Circus World.
Oh, my gosh.
So Lakeland is north of Orlando and about – so it's like halfway between Orlando and Tampa.
Okay.
So we went Tampa and to Circus World.
Oh, nice.
Which, if you look around, their big roller coaster ride was a movie.
Oh, that's nice. You're not really moving. It's just they're showing you what it's supposed to feel like.
They put a camera in the front of the roller coaster and put it on a movie.
The big movie, you walk in, it's behind the green door. It's just like an extra in a movie.
That's right. I mean, who didn't want that? I forget the woman's name, but she was in a lot of Cinemax softcores.
So this is going to be interesting, and I know that that's going to happen. Is in all seriousness, you know, you're telling me after a team wins the Eastern Conference Finals or the Western Conference Finals that one of these dudes isn't going to sneak away to celebrate a little bit, and just cameras are everywhere. It's TMZ land. One of them is going to get a picture in, you know, a nightclub or a strip club, and all of a sudden you have to be, by the rules here, quarantined for 10 days, and you can't come back until after the 10 days you have two negative tests. So, I mean, just the temptation's going to be wild, but it's going to be fun to see and how this all turns out. But when it comes to
the way, I think you're overestimating the temptation. where Disney World is quite a ways from anywhere but Kissimmee.
I don't care if you're in the middle of the desert. There's going to be guys who are going to want to get away and blow off some steam.
No, I understand. But
so, I mean, think about this. They're getting there, Fred.
All right, to go to Rachel's or something, like a strip club, that's a 45-minute drive. So, I'm like, when I say, like, Lake Buena Vista, it's in the middle of nowhere, as you guys know.
Of course.
Yep.
And so, if they can't resist going to Kissimmee... And I just see Olenek, like, traipsing through Kissimmee. but if they can't, I mean, listen, I think the NBA is going to go, you know, I don't think it's going to be a half-assed thing there. But you would have to be truly dumb.
Okay,
see, Vegas, well, I get. You know, Vegas, I get, like, you walk out the door and there's all this stuff there. Lake Buena Vista is a land where nothing happens. So.
We have been in quarantine now for 3 months. Like, in March to now, when basically everything started, it's been a little less than 3 months. If you are going to arrive as a player between July 7th and July 9th, the way that it's scheduled, and you could be playing all the way through October 12th, that's longer than we've been in quarantine stuck in Disney World. Now, one thing that made it, I think, a little easier for people when the quarantine was going was that everything was closed. It's going to be different if you're a player and you're seeing on the TV that everything is open.
Don't you think, though, that they're going to make the experience, like, overwhelmingly nice? Like, don't you think that, you know,
put an extra Mickey Mouse bar of soap on their counter every day?
Well, I'm not talking about Dan Roach. I'm saying for instance, if me cares for a prostitute, one's coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Disney sure. wants a good rating. I mean, Disney's got a lot on the line here. They got to make sure everyone's happy.
I have a feeling that if you all and I are trapped in Orlando, our experience is a little different than the average NBA player.
So like, you're saying they would disguise them as Daisy Duck and bring them to their bedroom?
Like Kelly Olynyk, for example. Maybe Kelly gets a little lonely.
Maybe you could put on those big shoes.
Oh my gosh, now it's all of a sudden. See, I was thinking more of a furry effect. Like obsessed person.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, it seems there's some DNA in here.
Oh God, that's just like bad.
That was an episode of a show. That was an episode of a crime show.
Yeah, but that I mean, was CSI.
I'm telling you, and if I had to put money in, I want the Bankroll Boys here. There is going to be one. It's at least one instance where somebody, there's a photo of them is taken leaving the quarantine. It's just, I'm talking, no matter who you are, the temptation is going to be there. Especially if like, you know, you're, like if you wanted to celebrate, that's the other part of it is that, you know, you're going to win a couple of rounds if you're a team that makes it to the finals. So you're going to want to blow it off. And you know, the only real place to celebrate there is you can't go to like, what do they call area? Pleasure Island?
Pleasure Island. Yeah, it's so great there. You want to wait 5 hours in the ESPN line to try to watch a basketball game. It's really fun. But do you think, are they allowed to go to like other hotels and stuff?
So they can golf. And they can eat outdoors. Right now, that's the only specifics that I've seen. But they can't go to the parks. I do know that. And I don't think I think that they're not allowed to go to that huge shopping area, the downtown Disney. That I'm not sure of.
Well, that's heartbreaking. I mean,
you know, so basically, it's going to be their hotel and the golf course and the arena, and that's going to be it. And it's going to be the same circle the entire time.
Right.
And I'm just telling you. This is more also a psychological experiment.
No, I understand, but I also think that you again, and I understand completely what you're saying, and I don't discredit it. Is that your experience there? I mean, you know, like what they're going to roll out for food. You know what they're going to give them for entertainment. I mean, there's going to be. It's not going to. I mean, if you go to the Polynesian Resort and you can do the dancing that I did, I mean that you do that every night.
Oh, you
get
do,
a nice cocktail that's 5,000 calories with a half shot of alcohol in it, and you really have the time of your life. But I mean, I think you're right. I think someone's going to go stupid,
and it's going to be so funny.
I just don't know where you go. Like I just knowing that area so well. Because, you know, this is going to sound so obvious, but Disney's huge, like miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. And then so if you go south of or east or west of Disney, it's Highway 4, right, that goes into there. So if you go, then you can get to Kissimmee, but then you're 45 minutes from anywhere else. And if someone blows it by going to Tampa, they deserve every punishment that they can get.
I mean, it's, but you know, it's not even going to be that. Like, they're just going to go to the closest club that's got bottle service. And it's going to be probably, everyone's going to laugh when they see the outside of it. Like, this is the place that you chose to blow the next round of the playoffs. Oh, dude, it's going to be hysterical. And you know what? I bet that person is going to go with somebody from another team because, you know, all their friends are together. Everyone's in the same city. That's the other thing that you underestimate. All of their – it's almost like your friend convention. Guys you used to play with are on other teams. They're all
so
there, too.
So I can go to their hotel and I can eat at their restaurant? Or am I banned from doing that?
I think they're all in the same hotel. I think it's that Coronado Springs. They have not specified that yet, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But – so think about it. Let's say that you just won a round of the playoffs and you're about to go to the next one, but you have 4 days between this round and the next one. One of your good buddies is done. His team got bounced and you guys have been best friends for a while. And he says, hey man, we haven't hung out in a while. Let's sneak out of here and let's go to like a club and just have a big night of it. You're not playing for 4 days. You know, we can do it. I'm sure we'll be fine. That's, I think, the way someone's getting in trouble, is they're going to be with their friends, and they're going to go with a guy who doesn't have to play, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're going to be bounced. They're not going to be able to do the next round.
I don't disagree that that's going to happen, but I will be fascinated when they
end
up.
It's going to be fascinating.
I mean, they're going to be in Church Street Station, which is like, Ybor City. I mean, they can go have fun there and get 2-for-1 Jack Daniels during karaoke night. So, I mean, listen, I haven't been to Orlando proper since 97. So, I mean, maybe things are very classy there now.
They're going to go down the street to the new Jimmy Buffett retirement complex.
Come Monday, it'll be all right. Come Monday,
my parents had this Jimmy Buffett like book like hanging around. His biography probably looks at 50s
grade. And I just want you back.
These is fictional writing. He has sisters named Aurora and Borealis.
Aurora Borealis, yeah.
And you're like, and then he's like, you know, there's this place in Alabama that's on the Gulf, and now all of a sudden they've opened up this golf course and these condos, and everyone hates it. It's like, a-hole, that's your career. You've ruined everything. Like, that's all you've done, is you've taken nice places and put your corporate brand on all of them. How dare you? You're complaining about your exact thing. That'd be me complaining about being bad on the radio. This is what I built my career upon. So, maybe they can go and they can buy Jimmy Buffett golf balls, which, by the way, are for sale.
I'm sure they are.
And guess what's on them?
Would it be a parrot? Cheeseburger in paradise?
You are a parrot and a palm tree away. Because when daddy hits the links, daddy likes the Jimmy Buffett ball.
If it goes left, it's a hook. Right, it's a slice. Straight, it's a miracle.
Oh, jeez.
That's what my notepad says. Okay. Golf. I love golf.
Yeah. You know, it's a fun book is 101 Golf Jokes that my father owns.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, I couldn't even open it.
Come on. You should have brought that one home. We should have had some time with that, you know? Get some.
Things were so fun. I somehow slipped my mind to do that. I was just having the time of my life. All right. If I'm not back for the next
one. We got Mike Giardi coming on. So.
Fantastic. I will hurry as fast as I can. I'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
Guff is never what you think it is.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub. From the Town Fair Tire Studios. Boston's Home for Sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
We'll start with Major League Baseball. They saw team owners hand the players another labor proposal yesterday. In it, the owners proposed a 76-game schedule to begin in early July with the potential player earnings up to 75% of their prorated salary. But over 25% of that would only be paid out if the playoffs took place. The regular season would end September 27th. The playoffs are due to end the last day of October. The union will reportedly reject this offer quickly. The NBA, conversely, is getting back to work. To that end, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, among those that were seen at the Celtics practice facility yesterday. The league also has tentative postseason dates in place for Orlando. The 8-9 seed play-in tournament will be on August 16th and 17th. The official bracket of 16 teams to begin a postseason will happen the day after that. The conference finals will be on September 15th, and game one of the finals due on September 30th. And ESPN is reporting that Minnesota Vikings Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook will skip all team-related activities until he gets what he is terming a reasonable new contract. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the Cape Club Estates of Sharon. Newly constructed luxury townhomes lining the Cape Club of Sharon private country club. Owners will get a one-year full golf membership to the Cape Club of Sharon. Visit CapeClubEstates.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
Boston, we're all in this together. So while you hunker down at home, we're here with all the sports talk you want, the latest info you need, and a place to talk about
it. All right.
Listen on air, online at 98.5thesportshub.com, on your smart speaker or the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.